up, get out right out of your bed, that's your quicksand. Getting rid anxiety and head, you can fix it. Rid of stigmas, all of them you said, we ain't listening. Just remember, try to do your best, you can win this.
Maurice Bernard, state of mind.
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom! All right, so who I have here, I didn't tell him, but I teased this, and he's not on until I say his name. So he can just sit there like a handsome man. So who I have on today is a friend of mine. We've been friends for like over 30 years. He's a man of faith. He's a great family man. He's talented. I consider him I don't say this lightly, but I consider him a great actor. And not because he's on General Hospital and, you know, we've done a lot of great stuff there, but I considered him great when I saw his auditions and the work that he puts into his auditions and how he becomes different people. And for me, the better actors are the ones who become different people. Dustin Hoffman, you know, all that. The more you can hide behind somebody else or become somebody else, that to me is what I consider great. Anyway, he has a book called The 5 D's, and it's launched, but he'll tell you more about that. And so let's get into it. Also, but I'm gonna talk to him about when he came to my house during the pandemic. Mm. And I don't know if the last time we did an interview we talked about that, but maybe we did, but now we have different perspectives. So his name is Real Andrews.
Hey, man. Thank
What's
you,
up,
man.
Dude?
Oh, man, with an intro like that, dude, I'm sitting over here getting... I'm humbled. You know how much I respect you, dude. So thank you for those kind words.
And you know, my intros, they're not planned. They just come. I just let them come out.
Yeah.
So whatever was said was absolutely from my heart.
Yeah, we both kind of roll like that. And the book just we'll talk is Do You Want It?
Oh, so, Do You?
It started as 5 D's. So you're right, but it's about it. I now came back full circle. Ended up calling it Do You Want It? But yeah.
So what the heck have you been doing since last time you did State of Mind, which was, remember Ingo was involved? Ingo Rademacher.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Don't you know we were at Jim Warren's house?
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? I was thinking, it's been a minute, right? And when we think of where we... No, more than that, dude.
Yeah.
It's been more than that, for sure. I want to say... Well, because it was before I came back to GH.
But it was
right
before the pandemic or after the pandemic?
Oh, it was before the pandemic. Oh, absolutely before the pandemic. For sure.
Oh, then it's like 3 years.
Before. Yeah.
So we did it, you know, your son was there.
Yeah, my son. Oh, it was my daughter. Was it my daughter?
No, your son. And your daughter was there, but it was your son who was
on because
TV.
I remember doing a picture with her.
But it was on TV. With
right,
him.
Right. Yes.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't you.
It was my daughter.
It was your daughter. But
now, I'm going to tell her you said she was a guy. Like, what the? Dude, she doesn't look nothing like. Are you kidding me?
No, but you know what got me confused?
What?
It was Ingo's son.
Yes. It was Ingo's son. It was my daughter.
And it was your daughter. It was Ingo's son.
Yeah.
Oh man, so what's been going on?
Oh man, a lot. You know, I mean, there's been so much. I mean, we came back to GH, which was awesome. And we don't know where he is right now. Last time we saw Taggart, he was having a drink in the bar. He's on one hell of a bender right now. But, you know, it was a great time. And, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about that when I was coming up here, the GH thing is, you know, we both in a minute kind of guys, we take it as time is. But if that was the last time that Taggart was to be, what a way to go out. you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I'm grateful to
because
to
you're going to win an Emmy.
I am going to win an Emmy. I'm speaking it. I speak. That's, you know. Yeah. And
well, and everybody says how great. You know, I saw it was great, right. But people usually when people talk like that, it's great.
Thank you. You know, and it's funny because it's like some people, like if they watch this, they go, "Wow, he says," with you know, it's not about being cocky; it's about being confident.
Yeah,
you know, one of the things, I mean, no, it's like when I see, like, I never, like, when I see people, I'm just being real because that's what I do. That's what we do on here. Like, I'm not going to be that actor that says if it's meant to be, like,
or if I wow, get
I'm so shocked or I'm so shocked. I never thought this would happen. Yeah. Of course, I thought this was happening. This is what I've fucking fought for my whole life.
Right,
you know what I mean? Right. This is, you know, I'm like, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. This is an interesting topic we're on right now about the Emmys and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with saying you're going to win or this or this or that, right? Where you could get yourself in trouble is the people like me, like me, that could say that and then not win and then it screws with me.
That's
the thing.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Morris, because, you know,
that's
really good because, and me coming, and I want to bless you with that and others because I'm glad you brought that up. Because as a coach, society teaches us that failure is a bad thing.
I know.
But it's not.
I know.
All successful people fail a lot. And if you're not failing, you're not doing what you're doing. And it's like, you have to, you know, we could speak life and death at the power of the words. And why wouldn't you speak life over yourself? It's like, cause people say that to me all the time, say, like, you know, I'm gonna, my goal is to do this month. My goal is to do that. My goal is to, but what if you don't, Ray? Well, what if I don't? If I don't, I get back up and keep going. I'm not gonna take it personal, but I'm not gonna go into anything with the hope, maybe, wish, try, because those are all outs. You're giving yourself an out because, you know, and I'm glad you're able to be transparent that it messes with you. And it messes with you because you're letting your ego get in you, and ego equals enemy.
Yes.
And that's how the devil keeps you down.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And you know what? It's like you have to, my dad always taught me, you go into every battle. It's a battle, whether it's the Emmys, whether it's, you know, you're in sports, whether, you know, you're writing a book and going for number one. It's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into every battle like a warrior. Not to get second, to win.
Right.
And you do your best. You show up with excellence. If you don't win, you show up like a man. You shake the other person's hands. You look them in the eyes and you mean it. And you say, job well done. And then you go back to work and you go after the next.
Yeah. Ray, look, that's exactly what you should do. Right. Mm-hmm. And I have done that. But it's a matter of when I go home, how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not been good. No. In the past. But I will say this. At the last Emmys, it was the greatest time I've had at any Emmys. I was not in my head, in my thoughts. I was in the moment. And I didn't win. And I was like, man. And I'm like, wow. This is how you're supposed to feel.
Yeah.
This is how normal people feel without that kind of ego. Where how dare I don't win? How dare I lose? How dare you win and not me?
Yeah, right.
That's
not what it's about.
We need to. You know, there's a.
Do you know what ego stands for?
I think I just know.
Edge got out.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, edge got out.
Wow.
And that's just, you know, it almost makes me sad, dude. Because I know how much it affects you, and the difference between you and me, because it's for a whole nother level for you because of our mental sickness that we have,
right?
So it really messes with you. But, you know, I'm going to go out on an edge. I didn't live it, but the difference would be I had parents that spoke life over me from the day I can far back as I remember. Mom, don't dream tonight, son, dream big, you know, and I don't think that you have. So I didn't, my mindset is completely different. Let's be real. Would I be bummed? I would be really bummed.
Yeah,
would I be upset? But, you know, we have a rule in our house called you can have a Lionel Richie pity party for 72 hours. That's the max. Then you have to get over it. Hello, is anybody out there? But, you know, that's,
you know, there's a guy right now. I don't know if you heard, I'm sure everybody has, Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
He's going through some... And when you talk about ego, it's, you know, at that level, it can be very scary. Mm-hmm. And this kid's got a fight big, his biggest fight coming up in April. Mm-hmm. And he's in a scary way, let's just put it that way. I mean, I don't live with him. But you can see it. It's all on the Instagram and everything. And he needs to get a hold of that.
Yeah.
Because it's the ego, I think, and I know we've discussed this, that will really, really.
It'll destroy you.
Yeah.
It'll destroy you to the ultimate, what we both know. I mean, that's like, you know, you start to think that people are judging you and thinking, and you know what? Here's the deal. We were talking about this before we go live. I mean, I don't know. I just hate to say it, but it is what it is. Most people are not nice people. They're not good people. They're not. And that's the reality of what it is. That's why you have to be really careful of what I call your sacred circle. Yeah. Who do you let in that sacred circle? You want to make sure those are John, Peters, and Paul's, you know, from the Bible. You know, you're in my sacred circle. You know, you because most people don't really want well for you. So if you're trying to impress or do it for other people, we've got a problem, Nassau. You can't do that. You're setting yourself up for success because you just got to, the only person in my world, number one, that I have to impress is God, my Lord and Savior.
Right.
That's it. My life changed as an actor, Maurice, when I found God. You remember those days when we'd go on auditions and you walk out of the audition, you're not even out. Did they like me? Oh, like, please. Did they like me? Have they called yet? Did you hear anything? Yeah. When I found God, dude, and I realized that the only person I want to make proud is my Lord and Savior, that's it. And as long as I know I showed up with excellence. Now, if I did a bad audition, that would be a good thing.
As
long as I did with excellence, I literally would just throw the sides out on the way out. And I'm on. And if, you know, if the past comes back and knocks me on the shoulder and surprises me, hey, great news. Your wife calls me. You got it. Great. Otherwise, I'm on. But if we don't live in that mindset, dude, it's the mind, state of mind, is incredibly power. And we've got to set ourselves up with so many tools to beat the enemy. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard me say, it's kind of weird, but I want you to read between the lines. I say, I have the utmost respect for the devil. You know why? Because he's freaking relentless. He is all in. He's not maybe hope, maybe. He is all in, and he's coming at you like that. If you're not going to be all in, if you're not going to be relentless, you're going to lose the battle.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's committed to what he believes in. We need to be committed to what we believe in.
And it does feel that way when because I just had another... because, you know, anxiety and it, when you're in that state of mind, it does feel like something demonic is taking over you. I mean, you just, in your thoughts, in here, and what you're thinking and what comes out of your mouth is so, I get so scared. Scared. And I'm strong otherwise, but in those times, I'm like panicked.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, we both came through that, and that's why we decided to do this. But, this last one for me, dude, was freaking brutal. And
so, like, what was the trigger on that one?
I don't know, dude.
Damn.
I used to, you know, we used to see it coming, and I used to, not that I would see it coming, I used to be able to say when I went through it, I'd be like, oh, okay, now I saw how, and I got to the point where I started to recognize stuff, and I was doing, and then these last couple, dude, came out of nowhere, and they came in times when I was on top of the world. Like, everything was great in my life. And then all of a sudden, so I totally got blindsided. And what God just showed me when you were just saying what you just said, because you're right. And I think what's happening there, Maurice, is when we start, because it's like you're here and then you start to lose it. For me, it's like, it's a definitely like, I know I need to hold on to going to the gym as long as possible. Because the minute I start missing, then it's 2 days. When I start going, then I'm done. That's it, done. So you start to lose that battle. And when you when you're talking about those demonic, what it is, as we get closer and closer to losing, they get more and more in the life because they're like, yes, we're winning. And it's almost like now you're kind of on this side of the playing field, and they just, and you start, your skin starts to feel weird. You start to hear those voices. You start, I was sitting on that freaking, like, when you think about how can you be in a beautiful, one of the most beautiful places in the world, in the beach. You know, I was with my wife, and I'm not telling her nothing because I didn't want her, it was her trip. I didn't want to ruin her time. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, how can I be in this beautiful place with all these people and I'm miserable? It was everything I could do every day just to be there for her.
Yeah. You what know? Beach was it?
Punta Cana, dude. I'm sitting there and it was like, oh God, I was like, and she does, she's going to watch this and she's going to.
But does she have any awareness?
No.
Wow. Because I think Paula has awareness, but she didn't say anything. Yeah. At this point, she's
Because they don't know. You know what I've learned with our wives, our queens, is they, because I've said to my wife sometimes, and because I actually said to her, and she either didn't hear it, but I know she heard it because my wife hears everything. But she didn't respond. And I actually said one time on the trip, I was like, you know what, honey, I just don't think I can do this anymore. And she just brushed over it. But they don't do it because they don't care.
No,
it's because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to help us. And it's, and for them, it's very a helpless feeling for them because we're their kings. Yeah. And they can't, and you know, she shared with me a couple of times, I'm sure Paul has, they can't imagine what life would be without us. And so they don't have the answer. So they don't know how to help us. So they just kind of pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's maybe sometimes it's too much.
I would think it's way too much. I mean, you know, it's like, I know one time we were having some challenges in our life. Now my wife doesn't deal with depression, but she was, you know, depressed in that way. And I was, you know, obviously going through what I was going through. And she just said, I can't, you know, because when you're a very strong person, Maurice, and so are me. So when we're not strong.
Yeah, right.
They, you know.
It's a, you know, Paula said something recently that I never heard her say. Mm-hmm. And it was, it just made me go, wow. She said, it's really, really painful to see the pain in your face. Mm. It hurts. She said, it hurts me. That's what he said. She said, it hurts me to see the pain in your face.
Yeah.
And I thought, because I almost thought she wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah. And she, I think we're not as good. I don't think we're as good at it as anymore. I think because we both really wear, in a normal situation, whatever mood we have,
yeah,
we're not about hiding our moods. We keep it real. So we think we're doing good inside, but I wonder sometimes. Like, do you notice your dogs notice, dude? Your animals? Do you ever notice that?
No, they don't.
They don't?
Vito is like, he don't care.
He don't care about it. My dog, I think my dog does, though.
You think?
I think
what's
so.
What's your dog do to make you think that it knows?
I remember one time sitting, it might be just me being in my be weird, funny self, but I remember one time sitting in my living room on that couch, like a lump, you know, and they were just looking at me. Two dogs were just sitting, like, usually they come and sit with me, and they were kind of sitting over there, and they're just looking at me, and I just looked at them, and to me, it was like, they were like, Dad, it was like, Dad, come on, Dad, you got to get through this kind of thing.
It could be, you know, yeah. They people say that,
yeah.
You know, you see those
but
videos.
Not Vito.
No, forget Vito, dude. He just goes like this.
Do you let Vito in that car? He doesn't get in that car.
I don't think he's been in that my new car. Yeah. Okay. But you know those dogs, those beautiful videos that you see where the dog is crying under on this, you know, at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
That's they obviously they know something.
They know.
So let's talk about. I want to talk about when you came to my house during the pandemic. It's an interesting because you're the only one that did that. Because not to get into this, you know, because I know I talk about the pandemic, and my psychiatrist is like, you need to get over the past. But but that was such a scary. That was probably this. I mean, I've been through a lot, but that was probably the scariest time for me. So that's why I can't kind of let it go. And I think it's a topic that helps people that are watching State of Mind who may be going through the same thing and thinking they can't get through it. And you have to know that my life was rewarded tenfold after that. So that's how life is, right? But I didn't want to see, as a matter of fact, I was going to do a skit with Steve and Bradford. And it was kind of my idea, and I thought it would be funny, and they were ready to come. And the night before, I said, Paul, I can't, because I was in such bad shape. And it hurts to not do it, right? Because it makes me feel like...
Yeah, then it starts to compound.
You know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said no, so they didn't come. And then out of the blue, one day, Real comes over. And I'm like, oh, shoot. I mean, I love Real, but I'm like in this place. And I couldn't. So what did you see when you came? Because you're like the only one, aside from my family, and maybe some other people that came over, friends of somebody that saw me at that period. What did you see? That's your perspective.
Yeah. You know, and you know what I saw a broken man who was, you know, just trying to be strong.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I want to say too, because I think it's important for people watching this show, especially with watching this show, because I think it's about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, right, to your house. And we all have these when I should reach out to somebody or I should call somebody. When you have, what I would like to say to people is don't ignore that.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening for a reason. The universe is so freaking huge. Do you think it's just a coincidence that that thing? And it was just on my heart that I just needed to go. And I think I'd actually called you a couple times
and
said,
back.
And so I said, I'm just going to go, you know, and because I've already lost too many people in my life.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to. And I just knew, and I was being obedient to that. But when I'm sitting there, I'm watching a man fighting for his life.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I saw. I saw a man fighting for his life. Full transparency, Maurice, I never said this. I didn't want to leave because
I know you didn't want to leave.
I thought that might be the last time that I'd see you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I felt it. But I wanted you to leave.
Yeah. And I just after a while I had to respect it. You know.
I know because you kept saying
I could tell you were I know what that's like, but I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave because I just was playing so many things and I love you too much.
Wow, man. I felt it. I felt that you were doing anything.
Yeah, I was like talking about stupid shit. We were making up funny stuff.
Remember that?
Yeah, and it was like, I would have loved to have taped that because I don't think we even talked about anything. And then I finally just, you know, and driving home was the worst because I probably in my head
turned around. Is it in the eyes?
Yeah, it's in the eyes. You know, and it's
or
like
the whole body language.
It's in the eyes. Everything's in the eyes. You have to, you know, one of the things I say all the time is you have to be very good. You know, God gave us two ears.
Yeah.
you got two eyes and stuff like that. We listen with our ears, right? But if you want to be that next level person, you got to get good at listening with your eyes. Because people say a lot of stuff out of their mouths. But if you're paying attention, but most people don't, you know, and there was a famous thing of Winston Churchill, right? I don't know if you ever heard this or read this, but Winston Churchill got so frustrated standing in those lines where people are coming by and he has to shake everybody's hands because they were just not paying attention. So one day for fun, he started going, I'm going to kill my wife today. I'm going to kill my wife today. Terrible. And people were just like, they didn't even catch it.
Wow, that's...
You know, and it's like, think about this in a whole nother scenario. When I got sober, right? I was the head usher at my church. I wanted to catch this, right? I'm the head usher at my church. That day, I did three services back to back. I'm standing there greeting people as they're coming in. I was day five into cold turkey stopping opioids. Dude, I was losing my shit. My skin was crawling. I was like, I was an emotional wreck. Like, you would have to be blind, deaf, and stupid not to see what was going on. But for three services, not one person said, are you okay? Is everything all right? They just big smile. Yeah, just walk by, because they're not even paying attention because they're so self-aware. Until one guy, thank God, a good friend of mine came by and I said, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. And even he stopped. He said, bullshit. He said, what's going on, brother? Wow. And then I just broke down. We went in another room and talked. If it wasn't for that, I don't know that I would ever.
Isn't that a testament to how great you can fake it?
I don't know. That day, I don't know. You're faking sweat, maybe.
You were like I was when you came to visit me, where, you know, I think with me and you, I was transparent, though. Mm. I wasn't trying to fake it.
You weren't trying to fake it, but you certainly didn't want me to see. Because, and we talked about this is. This is the challenge. And because we both said it to each other.
Yeah.
But we both went through something just recently. Did we reach out? No.
No.
Not until it was over. You know, and it's like I continue to tell the people watching, next time this happens, I'm gonna take you with it through me so we can learn. And then when it happens, you don't do it. It just because it's like I don't know, dude. It seems so weird, but just like even like picking up a thing of water when you're in that thing, it just hurts.
I know,
it's
dude.
Hard.
Yeah,
it hurt. Like it
you're
hurts.
Absolutely,
you know
right.
what I mean? You just even, don't even like just
even taking this.
Yeah, it just hurts.
It's so ugly.
Yes.
And then you, even when you drink, you're like,
yes,
because your mind does not stop. Mm. That's the thing.
And the thing is like, you know, I don't know. We're definitely not those people, but I know my wife has always said, and she says the same thing about remember the show Intervention.
Oh, I love Intervention. Yeah. My favorite show.
And she would be like, why don't they just stop?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so they don't understand. It's the same thing with depression. You know, my wife has said when unfortunately some champions chose the ultimate thing and they exited, left kids behind or whatever. And she'll say, this is not mean. She just say, how could they? How would they? When you're in that place, you're not making conscious decisions.
No.
You're not. It's like, and I wonder, Maurice, I don't know. Sometimes God says you shouldn't say something, but he's not being too strong. But going back to what you said earlier, I wonder when we're talking demonic and stuff like that, I wonder how really, I don't ever want to be there, but I wonder, does it really get to that point where you're actually really like, cause I don't know, dude, I've been in some really dark places, but I don't know that I'm just like, putting a gun,
Me, when it gets real, the devil and God fighting each other is during my manic episode, where in the first breakdown that I had when they put me in a mental institution, I was yelling at the doctors and the doctor guys pinning me down. Mm. I was yelling like I was the Exorcist.
Really?
I was spitting on
really
spitting on them, saying I'm Reagan, And I was talking like that and the whole thing.
Wow.
But that was at the worst of my time. And they, two big dudes trying to hold me down. And I'm like, get out, you know.
Wow. So.
So.
Yeah, see?
All right, listen. We can't get out of here without. Okay. I want to talk about your book.
Okay.
So I got some notes here that I wrote down that I want you to just comment on.
Okay.
You always see moments of divine inspiration in the morning. And I say, and a lot of times with anxiety, it's the worst time is in the morning and at night, but it's kind of in the morning. So how does that, two of those?
For me, it's interesting. For me, definitely the worst is night. When the night comes, when I'm in those moments.
I know everybody says that. Yeah, it's
for, but for me, the morning, because it's like now I got a whole day of daytime. It's just, but for me, I've really known that I've got to the point now of, you know, anybody needs anything done for me, I say, I'll get you the answer in the morning. I just know without all confidence, I get my God drops in the morning. It's, you know, I get up real early, as you know, have my quiet time, and then I have my worship in the gym, and I get a lot of stuff when I'm working out. A lot of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
To me, the book is like a blueprint for peace and success,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And faith and
mm-hmm.
Discipline. How important is it?
Discipline is everything, right? I mean, once again, if you don't have, you have to have disciplines in everything that you do.
Yes.
And the more discipline that you do and the more disciplines you find, and the more consistent you come with those disciplines, you'll be successful. I mean, in the book, you see, you know, as I, the prayer, what I say is like, you know, Jesus didn't die for us to be safe. He died for us to be dangerous. Are you ready to be dangerous? You know, walk into your power, be who you were called to be. All that, then you got to get this book because it's going to give you the tools.
Yeah.
And those, and to do that, to be, because you're going to need tools, because once again, it is a freaking war and you cannot go into these battles. Like, for, do you go into a soccer game or anything like that? Just let's go wing it. No, if you want to be a champion, if you want to go to the championships, you want to win anything, you've got to have disciplines.
Yes. And it's interesting because what I liked about your book, and it's something that I don't do here enough, and I didn't do in my book enough. I mean, my book was cool in its own way, but it's just my life story, and somebody has good, I had a good writer. But here, I don't do enough, but I try to bring in people like you to do it, which is, I'm good at storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I've been through, blah, blah, blah. But I don't give out enough tools. I say it general.
Right.
Yeah, go to therapy, meditation, work out. But your book is like, blue, like it just, yeah. It's all in there, like a, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think that's important.
Right.
And I need to do more, which is why you're here.
Well, before you go, I want to say something. I want to correct you. You said you had a good writer.
Yes.
You're the writer, dude. You just had somebody who made what you wrote better.
Yeah.
Right? And the ultimate writer is God, who's bringing messages through you.
That's true.
So don't just, you're the writer, brother.
I get you.
And you're an amazing writer.
Yes, yes. And I am a pretty damn good writer, because I know when I write stuff.
You're an amazing writer, not pretty good.
celebrate small wins, very important.
Very important.
Because we don't do that.
No, we only celebrate the big wins. Yeah. Check this out, right? What do you, so glad you picked that one out. What do you see all over social media all day long? You see freaking highlight reels, the big victories, the big wins.
Right.
That's not realistic. More people should be doing their real life reels, the challenges,
yeah.
The small victories,
right.
The small
I
wins. Because what happens if we don't celebrate the small wins, if we don't let other champions, God has positioned you, me, others in a position to help others be who they are. But if we only show them the big victories,
yeah,
they get excited, they get fired up, and then they go home and go, that's not me, I can't do all that.
Yeah.
If we don't show them the little wins, which by the way, are a lot of failures, those failures are wins.
Yeah.
That's what gets you to the big wins. then they think Maurice is just amazing. Rael is just lucky.
Yeah.
He's just this. No, we are just like you, champions. We struggle. We fail a freaking lot. The difference is we keep getting back up and we take action.
Yeah.
And we don't let the enemy, we don't let people steal our dreams from us. Stop letting people steal your dreams. That's your dream. That's calling. Even your, unfortunately, your people closest to you sometimes, oh, no, that's stupid. Oh, stop it. Stop. If you were called to do something,
I agree.
Do it with excellence.
I agree with that.
You know? You can see I'm a little fired up about that one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
We'll do one more. You got to visualize success.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a great one. You know, that goes back to, you know, unless like you can say stuff like, what's your 50,000 foot view? What's your vision? You know, you have to have vision. Everybody has vision, but they've been robbed of their vision by their life. Starting from like, oh, you're not smart, you're stupid, you're this, you'll never achieve that, right? So their world gets this. Like, here's how, and a lot of people ask me this, right? How can you tell if you have great vision right now? Here's a simple thing for you. When you drive your car, are you looking at the next car in front of you, or are you looking 2-3 blocks down the road on what's going on down there? If you're that person, you're a visionary. Because I'm never going to get in an accident right in front, because I'm watching down there. So if these cars are going to start to start, that's vision. Yeah. But you also have to have vision with your goals, right? You want to know, because your mind, state of mind, right, is brilliant. And if you tell it where to go, it will figure out how to get there. If you kind of just like, then that's not its job. It has to, it is its job to figure out. So if you give it a plan of attack, so meaning when you say, you know what, I know when you wrote your book, for example, right? Your plan, you had vision. It wasn't just to write a book.
No.
You knew that you wanted to write this book so that you could do this, so that you could do this. And then the ultimate vision, here it is wrapped in a thing. The ultimate vision, it doesn't matter what we're doing, Maurice, is, in my opinion, how many people are you going to bring home when it's all said and done? You know, what is your legacy going to be? What are you going to have on your tombstone? What are people going to say about you after your life? What's that conversation that you're going to have? So to be able to see that thing, you have to have vision. You're not just doing this to write a book. You're doing this to change lives.
Yes, it's funny you say that, because we're going back to ego again. Mm. My ego, and Paula would always on my ass to not say this. I said, I want to be a New York Times bestseller. Honey.
That's ego.
Honey, stop it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, that's not the thing. But I also want to help people.
Yes.
Because I know I want to get the book to be as deep, as truthful as it can. So, but the ego is the New York Times bestseller.
So, now, let me ask you this, because I love that you're saying this, because we've known each other a long time. And I was just saying, dude, if we were doing this interview, like, not even too long ago, but definitely a long time ago when you and me first met, I would be wanting to write this book, because I want to be number one. I want to be bestseller and blah, 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 blah. Me. I. We're both different. So I want to write this book to change one person's. I really want to change millions of lives. But let's just say one life. So, and I know you've had the same change from your ego. Did you not notice when, like, for example, let's just take what you said. If you say, you know what? I want this book to be successful, because there's people that need to hear my story. Right. That's what we're talking about at church right now. Testify.
Yeah, that's
Jesus doesn't need more preachers. He needs more people to get up and share their story, which is everybody has a story. So if you do that, and now that you do that, guess what? Boom. Wow, honey, I can't believe it. I'm a New York bestseller. How did that happen? It happened because you weren't doing it for that. Your vision was to change lives. And in the process, guess what? You became a number one bestseller for New York.
Right, Rhea. But what about the fact that the ego won and I was New York Times bestseller?
Well, that's a great...
But here's yeah, the bit. As you said that, this is what came to my mind.
Yeah.
It's never enough for the ego. You know why? Because I was number 13. I wanted to be one. You see how that works?
Yeah.
It's never enough.
Yeah.
And that's not good. That's wrong.
Yeah. No, and let me flip it for one more thing. Okay. This is good. So watch this. This is how cunning and relentless the enemy is. He's going to let you be number one New York bestseller. So you think that's what it is, right? But the ultimate goal was not to be that. So if you think that that was your win, he's taken your vision off of the prize. Yeah. And sometimes those wins can come in. Like, I mean, come on, dude. How many of us, I've been there, right? I mean, all I wanted to do is go to Hollywood and be successful. And I'm never going to do anything. I'm never going to do drugs. I'm never going to do this. I'm going to be this person, right? I'm not going to be one of those people there. And guess what? I get on General Hospital and I book Soldiers of Fortune. Here comes ego. Yeah. All of a sudden, I want to go to the parties. I want to go to this. Next thing, I'm doing an Academy Award performance. Like, I probably won 12 Academy Award performances as a drug addict and a narcissist and an alcoholic. I knocked those performances out of the park.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's ego. Ego tricked me, or yeah. I let it trick. It didn't trick me.
Yeah,
but that's the difference, because God has much bigger plans for you, Maurice, and he has much bigger plans for all of you. But the New York bestseller is nothing.
No.
Oh my God, dude, I get emotional for you. Because, Maurice, ego, forget the ego, because you are humble enough to be transparent and get on this for years before anybody else would do it. Yeah. Everybody does it now because it's cool. Right. It's cool. You were doing it when it was not cool. Yeah. You were doing it when people would make fun of you and it could have cost you your career.
Yeah.
But because of that, Maurice, do you know what your freaking resume looks like already? Do you know how many lives you have changed? You have saved? Do you know how many lives you have brought home to God?
Yeah.
Because you stood up and been bold, because you were freaking dangerous when everybody else wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
You should be very proud of that, dude.
Yeah, no,
you should be very proud of that. Don't underestimate that, man. Don't let people take that away from you.
You know, Rhea, it's funny you say that, because
I'm getting crazy.
The more anxiety that I get, the more I'm proud of what I'm doing. When I was early on, when I was doing this 30 years ago, people say, that's amazing, that's hard. I'm like, not hard. Yeah. I just did it. I just do it. But now that I've been through what I've been through, I can't believe that I can go to act 80 scenes.
Let's talk about that, what you just went through.
Well, that was having the flu. The flu triggered this horrible anxiety, and I had I called him sick for the second time in 30 years, which
you never know.
It's scary. It's not good to, you know, the pressure of that was not great. But, you know, I did 2 weeks of a lot of work. But what's funny, whatever's on air now is when I was sick.
Mm.
You can't tell. Mm. But I talked to somebody and they said, yeah, you can't tell. But when you would stop acting, you were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I was spitting. I was coughing. I couldn't think. I did, before we go, this is a cool thing, that it was a scene. And you know, I don't like talking too much about acting, but I will talk about it. There was a scene where I had a couple lines because my son's dying, Dante, right? And I was messed up from the flu and the anxiety. But nobody really knew those. And at the end of the scene, I just let all that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you thought that Sonny was crying over his son, but it was me, because I was in such bad shape, right? Mm-hmm. And then people looked at me like, what the hell is going on? And I went downstairs, this actor came up and he said, wow. I said, man, dude, you have no idea. I'm dying right now, man. And I probably shouldn't have done that, because it threw me over even more. I mean, you're going to watch it and go, wow. But then I was really messed up. But like everything, and Ray, I will tell you, and I'm going to end this right now with two things. Whatever we talked about, you have to understand that no matter how difficult it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, we make it comfortable. We are stronger than we know. That's the key. Because when you get through this, and I'm going to keep saying this because I just said mm-hmm. the last interview with this guy who has schizophrenia. When we get through what we go through, it makes us interesting. Most people are normal, mm-hmm. but a lot of people aren't interesting. We are interesting because of what we've been through, the darkness, the pain, the depth. And look at Real. This guy should win. Let me tell you something. Here's what I'm going to say about Real. This, what he did today, forget Emmys. This is five Emmys just mm-hmm. sitting in that chair mm-hmm. with what he did today. If that were an acting scene or a movie or whatever, I keep saying interesting because he was just very interesting, very real, very truthful, and he had so many levels, and he was so transparent. I was watching going, damn. I mean, and I don't sit here in this chair. I've had over 350 interviews. And go, he'd win an Oscar.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking. And I know that's acting, but I'm saying in real life, right? Yeah. There were Oscars for real life. So anyway, I appreciate State of Mind, brother. Thank you.
Love you too, brother. Thank you. God bless.